discussing a little bit of the very unique, special yeshiva or beis medrash that Ramchal had. This is called the yeshiva Mevakei Hashem. Those people who are searching out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a very specific takonis, was very, very selective in order to be able to be accepted in that yeshiva. Ramchal produced great Talmidim, who are not just great Talmidim in knowledge, but as well as Kedoshim, literally because their life was dedicated to a higher level than Avodas Hashem, and their Avodas Hashem was connected with deep study in the areas of Kabbalah. One of the most choshev of the Talmidim Ramchal, it was an Odom Gadol by the name of Rav Moshe David Vali, whose Bez Hashem will have the opportunity to talk about him a little bit more. He was also a physician, a great Baal Mekubal, and the last few years, literally, Kizveyad upon Kizveyad, manuscripts upon manuscripts of Chedusha Torah had become sort of like revealed and being published. A lot of work needs to be done by people who have knowledge to understand what Moshe David Vali, what his kavanas were, and what he intends, what his chedushim are, what he's trying to bring out. There's somebody by the name of Rav Spinner in Eretz Yisrael, who was very much involved with the ksavim of Moshe David Vali, and was Ramchal Bechlal. He's a known Ramchal mensch. He deals and studies and promotes the works of the Ramchal in many, many areas. When we were in Padua, actually, we did mention a number of Chiddush HaToy from Moshe David Vali. We intended to try to find the Kever because became aware that the Kever, or the Matzev at least, in the Mokim of the Beis HaChaim, was found and it is there. We were not aware that there are five Beis HaChaims in Padua. And we visited two of them. One which I knew about, and everybody, I guess, knows about, which is the kever of the still existing Matseva from the Maram Padua, the Godel Hador, who was nifter in 1565. The original Matseva still stands. As well as next to him, his son, Rishmul Yehuda Katzenelnboingen. Name was Katzenelnboingen. And people were sort of surprised that on the Matseva itself, there was an engraved image of a cat, Katzenelnboingen. He says, how is that? Well, look, it was back 1565. So they must have some merit. And this is the way it was. We were caught sort of like in the rain at that particular time, so we couldn't stand there too long to be mispal enough. But Kapoim, just to stand in the Dalramas of such a caver, Mugad Avram brings them all over the place. As a matter of fact, he brings them Maharamaf. Many people have no idea who the Mugad Avram is talking about. Maharamaf. It's Maharam Padua. That was the great Maharam Padua. So the second Beis HaChaim, which we managed to visit, was the cave of the Barbanel. And right next to him was Rehuda Mintz. Our contact over there, when I did ask him about the Moshe of the Valley, he was not aware, but he said, listen, there are more cemeteries, but he's sort of a little bit of an obnoxious person. It was enough that he told us these two places, didn't want to go any further. So I upon him, so we missed that one. Had I known exactly which Beis HaChaim to go to, maybe this would have been one of the first two that we would have gone to. But let's mention, continue some of the takonis. We did mention last week some of the takonis and more to be accepted in the yeshiva. So here, let me just quote you some of the lines written from the original takonis to be accepted in the yeshiva of Ramchal. So among many others, one of them states, this is Lavoid Avoidosom Lifnei Hashem. The takon is that you have to commit yourself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emes ubetomim with no intention of having any schar for your mitzvahs and your avodas Hashem. So what's the purpose of your avodah? The idea is that all the schar of my mitzvahs go to be misakin the Shechina Kedosha, to make the Shechina happy, to redeem the Shechina, to bring the Geula. Ulitikun kol Yisrael. And the schar of all the mitzvahs that is done by the Chevra and all the Masim Tovim Nitnu b'matona l'klolus kol Yisrael, is give b'matona to all of Klal Yisrael. V'ligmo el chesed im ha'shchina ha'kdoshe, and to give nachas ruach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Very high madrig of a person being ready to give up all his schar. One can imagine that B'Shemayim gave them schar anyway, just for the good kavonis to be able to make, want to make such a sacrifice. But that was the condition, that any of you, first of all, full fully committed avodas Hashem, but not for yourself. All the schar for your mitzvahs or any ma'asim tovim that you do goes for the Shechina and goes for Klal Yisrael. Number two, also es atzvom kulam ki ish echad. The idea is that they come in with an understanding that we are not individuals, that all of us are one. Liyas oivdim avoyde tamos, like one long, large goof, to do the avoyde, complete avoyde lifna kodesh baruch hu, to the point that any mitzvah that one does, it's as if all of them did it. That is supposed to be the idea, that we come together ki ish echad, b'lev echad mamish, to the extent that any mitzvah that one individual does would be considered that all did it. Now it's all did it for the shame, for the shechina. But that's only on the positive side. What happens if one of them does an aveira? No, only you, not me. Now the toiva, anything that brings out kiddush shem shemayim, we are all one. But if it comes out l'cheid v'yavoin, but regarding if one does an aveira, he says, asher yechto echad chas v'sholem lo yechoshev l'chevrosam. In other words, the liabilities, the ish echad beich echad is not for the liability, it is for the positive side of it. Then, further on, Avadi says, kiblu aleihem also, they were mekabel upon themselves that whatever is revealed in this Beis Medrash stays here. They're not allowed to reveal it outside of the Beis Medrash. Because one could have the notion, okay, not everybody was accepted, but you know what? The Talmidim that were accepted will just go out and reveal everything on the outside. So the idea was no. The Kabbalah was liyeskol hadvorim hanoidoyim lemin hamedrash hakodesh hazeh, from this Beis Medrash, holy Beis Medrash, kulam b'teir esayd chosum shloile galus klal el b'shus mareinu harav rabam, only with reshus of the Ramchal they were able to reveal further. Stam de b'teir they allowed, but anything else which are supposed to be on the wraps cannot reveal. Another thing that they had over here, that she kiev lekulam lehimotse. Everybody has to attend. Everybody has then chutz ma'oynis, except if some accident happens, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, it's a kiev, a commitment. You always have to show up. You always have to be there. Then also, lishmar piyam leshoynam, to be careful that whatever comes out of your mouth, lishmar piyam leshoynam mekoyl dovaro, and to stand there, the koyved rosh ubemoyre godel mipne hashchina gdoishim. In other words, the idea was that you feel the presence of the shchina. So the attitude has to be you sit there in awe in the beis medrash, bechol drochayim vedaskeim, whatever you're doing, any asik that you do. So the zalzel also bishum chumru minig Yisrael chaz v'sholem. Not to be mezalzel, not in any way belittle any chumra or minig of Klal Yisrael. On the contrary, last is mishmeres to mishmeres, to institute safeguards upon safeguards in order that Avodas Hashem will be on the highest level. Now, when the Beis Medrash was called the Beis HaTalmud, that's what it was called, Beis HaTalmud. They had a rule. That rule, number one, the Ramchal had his own table. And of course there were more tables where the Talmidim sat. First the Klal was, anybody, he says, who is sitting or standing next to the table of the Ramchal, no word of, if it's not Divrei Torah, it is also Bechlal to speak. You're not allowed to speak anything that's not Divrei Torah if you're standing around the Ramchal's table. This is the Loshon. The title is, V'zeh Mishpat HaBeis HaTalmud HaKodesh HaZeh. These are the bylaws. Zeh HaMishpat HaShkiblu Aleihem. So the Ramchal's personal table, that had to be totally, the whole area around had to be Bekedusha. If you stood next to the table, if you had something here, it's an important question, but it was not Divrei Torah, so you have to move aside. You can't speak it next to the table of the Ramchal. Even more, V'afilu b'chol shar beis HaTalmud. Once it is man halimut, one round dimut, that you can't just talk, we'll talk whatever you want. With tremendously aimo and pachad in yira, trembling and having the proper awe and covet. And let's say a person had to ask something, this is from one from the other. So there was somebody who was mamuna, his name was Yisrael ben Ramechel. No idea who it was, but he was appointed. This Yisrael ben Ramechel. When Yisrael ben Ramechel, Echad ben Achaverim, Asher Nivchal Lekach, was chosen, what he would say is the following words. His announcement was, Tenu Kovet L'Hashem L'Kai Yisrael. time now to give kovet, to extend kovet to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Miyad, when this announcement was made, these words were heard. Miyad yochoifu hachaverim hagdoshim esroishim. Everybody would bow their heads. V'lo yitziu oid shum milu mepiim. No word came out of their mouth. Even the middle of a sentence had to stop. The announcement came. It's time for tenu kovet l'Hashem. Lekai Yisrael, the Yechayvu lahafsig diburam velishtoik be'eim rabba. Pretty stick takonas over here, Rabbi Isai. And then he says further, the extended of kovet chaverim that were promoted. When someone came into the Beis Medrash, there was a way of greeting him. There wasn't some the usual shalom aleichem. What it said in the bylaws was that kol ish, that any person who came in lebeis haTalmud haKodesh hazeh. Zois tia milas shaloimoi. This will be the way. When he comes in, he bends his head, he bows his head, bekfifas roish, he says, Yehi chvoid Hashem l'yoylam, yismach Hashem b'masov. Again, talking about the kvoid shemayim. Bahayoishvim, those who were already sitting there, ya'anuhu yishem Hashem b'voyroch, me'atod oylam. So this is the way, this is the refrain, this is the way it went. Person came in, the introduction was Yishem Hashem, Yikvod Hashem Liyolam. And what happened when a person left the Beis Medrash? He would have to leave walking backwards. Ubitzeis ish me beis haTalmud yelech la'achrob. He would walk backwards, and while he's walking backwards, he would be saying the posuk, Yi Hashem Elikeinu Umonu, etc., etc., as the posuk follows. This was the usual situation. And he says follows. In Shabbos, he says, when Ramchal was sitting by his table, Ramchal would begin and say, Romach Ogoim Hashem, and the Chaverim would answer, Mika Hashem Elokeinu, so as is mentioned, Takenhal, Hameshpil Elirois, and so on and so forth. And Ramchal then would say, Tenu Kovet, he would say it, Tenu Kovet Hashem Elokai Yisrael, Umiyad Yichfu Achaverim Esroishom, they would bow their heads, Beyashtiku Atzmon, Lelimud Be'emu Be'iro Be'reses U'Be'zei Lifnei Hashchina Hagdoshe. And this is the way it was. The Kabbalah was, it says here, not to do anything the Beis Medrash Ki'im Brishus Mareinu Horav Moshechayim Rabam, without the Rishus Ramchal. So he really had it clearly under very, very strict rules, as you see on the highest and the highest level. And then it goes further. Kaim uvikiblu, they were mekabel upon themselves, lishimor mekol devar sheker, harchik meoid, not talking about an outright sheker, it's poshet, but anything that has a vestige of sheker, lishtadalias moitse sefosom rak emes l'yoylam, to make sure that, not just when they're in the Beis Medrash, emes only speak fully the truth, to the point, that if someone asks someone, and he says to them, emoir emes, I want to hear the truth, Yaleim chomur kishivua hayoyse chomur shibelam. A statement that would come out of the mouth has to be so serious, it's so true, like the most serious, right? The most serious type of yeshua that you can imagine. The same way without a shvua, your bond, your word, that should be like an oath, like the highest level of an oath, like yeshua. In addition, besides the regular learning, v'oid kibu aleim, that every day one of the chaverim would read the Yeseres Adibris, the Ten Commandments. Every day, and also all the Tariq mitzvahs that would run off every day. Besides the regular learning, Seres Adibris was recited, and also all the Tariq mitzvahs, and so on. Then a certain capital of Tehillim, the Posuk. You know what the regiment was on a monthly basis? They were mekal upon themselves, okay? Lahashlem kol mikra tanach, all of Torah and Nevi'im ksuvim. Umehem. And a chelik yashlimu kol hashas, mishneh gam kein b'chol chodesh, every month. Not once in 7 years, once a month. Roy kiblu aleihem. In addition to that, we also makal upon ourselves, something we mentioned, that ha'asira yeh chodesh, every 10th day had to be chodesh, one of the chaverim would fast. And the way it went is, ha'asira yeh chodesh, lehisanez boi echot min ha'chaverim, v'achrov ha'beis, v'achrov ha'gimel v'chikul. Another went by rotation. Every 10th day one would fast. Again 10 days, another chaver would fast. Again, till it went back to the first one. So on it went in a circle, full circle. Every 10th day, ha'asira yeh chodesh, it was a fast day. Then he goes on to say, Hoisifu belimit hatmidi zera kodesh, lilmit kol ha'yoyim kuloi, the entire day, and another 6 hours during the night. So this was pretty, as you can see, pretty intensive study over here. And finally, as we're coming up to this point, because we have to move on here, but let me just tell you the following. So this is the way this yeshiva, Rabbi Yisai, lasted a little bit over 2 years. That's all. This yeshiva lasted a little bit over 2 years. It was 2 years with these tremendous, gewaltige, unique, very special. I didn't tell you all of the things. Just told you some of the things over here. I'm skipping them out of some of them. So I'll upon them. So this lasted 2 years, a little bit into the third year. The way it's understood by great people, the Satan could not take this. And the Satan said, there's too much Kedusha being produced here in the world, and I have to do something to try to destroy this. I have to break this up. This is threatening. And this type of avoida, possibly, if we say many times, you know, that whatever we do always brings the ghoul a little bit closer, you can imagine this type of an avoida, such a chabura, with this intense level of avoidas Hashem, the Satan certainly felt that his doom is coming quite closely, very near. And therefore, something had to be done to try to break this up. And the way it started was that the Satan fact, and this is the way it worked, it was in 1729 that the Ramchal left Padua just for a visit. He went to Riggio to visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Shai Basson, that we mentioned. Shai Basson, again, was Rav of Padua. Right? As Ramchal was growing up, he was the Rebbe. Rabbi Shai Basson was the Rebbe of the Ramchal. Ramchal later on, as we said, moved to Riggio. And his father-in-law, Rabbi Yomen HaKoyin, Rabach, the great, great Baal Mekubal, was in Riggio. And Shai Basson went sort of to help out his father-in-law. Ultimately, Rabbi Shai Basson himself became the Rav of Riggio. So Ramchal periodically would go to visit his Rebbe. He went to visit his Rebbe. And if you take a look, you see the tremendous letters that Ramchal wrote. You can see his battles that he had. It was a battle himself to his Rebbe. It's just unimaginable. You see his battles that Ramchal had to his Rebbe, Rabbi Shai Basson. So he goes to visit his Rebbe. And at that time, Ramchal is not home. So who comes from Yerushalayim? I'm going to mention a name. That mention a name is quite a popular name. Not in, I say, in common circles. From Yerushalayim comes a Yid, a Baal Mekubal, by the name of Rafael Yisrael Kimchi. By the way, Kimchi was also the name of the Radak, Rabbeinu David Kimchi. So Rafael Yisrael Kimchi comes from Yerushalayim, and he makes his way to the Beis Medrash of the Ramchal. So some of the Talmidim had an urge. Some of the Talmidim had an urge to actually to show the Shlich of Yerushalayim, to show them the godless of the Ramchal. He wanted to show them a little bit the godless of the Ramchal, which, by the way, it was not supposed to be revealed. Whatever stays in the Beis Medrash is supposed to remember one of the Takonas. But this particular Talmud, this guest, this one-time guest coming from Yerushalayim, coming to Padua, you know, and this great Baal Mekubal, so he wanted to show him, look, see what we have here in Italy. So what does he do? So he shows him some of the Kizveyat, some of the manuscripts of the Ramchal. And this Rebbe so Kimchi Mamish, he just stood there astounded, incredibly wonders he saw in front of him, Gedoilus Venefloyus. And what does he do? This Rebbe so Kimchi writes his impressions to the Rebbe of the Ramchal. Now, as he writes to Rebbe Ramchal, to Rebbe Shai Basson, and he writes the following. I'm going to read you a few lines. What this guest wrote when he was shown some of the manuscripts, some of Ramchal, and he writes the follows. Shom bebeisoy, there in the house shall Harav HaKodesh HaMekubal HaOlekai. Harav HaKodesh, the great godly Mekubal, Nimtzeisi, that's where I was. Vishom Hoyisi, I spent there, Baruch Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. That's Yerushalayim, he's in Padua, and I spent there the time of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Not only that, but Yeshafti comes out, Yud Bezoim, 12 days I spent in Ramchal's quarters. For Isi Plois, I'll tell you what he saw. I saw Plois, I saw wondrous things, incredible things. First, what I saw was, Eich Hu Kosev Hakol Beloshen HaZoyer Gomer. Everything is written in pure Aramaic as if this is the Zohar HaKodesh. Which means that one would not be able, from the language itself, one would not be able, right, to have to discern a difference in the writing of the Ramchal from the actual Zohar HaKodesh. Everything was not Stam Loshen Kodesh, it was written in the Loshen of the Zohar HaKodesh. That's number one. The Ra'isi Perush Al Kohelis, if you remember we mentioned. I saw the Ramchal's Pirush on Kohelis, and also a Sefer HaTikunim. In addition, I saw the Gamhu Machaber's Sefer Zohar HaKodesh, a new Zohar HaKodesh he wrote, Ala Parashias. And I only saw till Parashas Vayetze. And up to Parashas Vayetze, there were already four books. Four books, Kfar Hoyeloi Arba Chiburim. You know, the vast amount what he wrote, right? just up to Parshas Vayetse, it was already four chiburim I saw. V'nishtoimamti al amare, I was astounded by what I saw. U'be'emes hudover pele loy ro'isi kumoyu. This is Eloshin. I never ever saw something like it, he writes. He says, Koy divra he signs ho eved refoil yeshoil chimri. And so what comes out is, as he goes further, he couldn't contain himself. So now he goes and he spreads the word all over Padua. Padua, yes, they knew that Ramchal was among them, but they never knew his true godless. Ramchal concealed it. So now he comes and starts to reveal him. Do you know what you have here? You know this youngster, Moshe Chaim? So he said, do you realize what you have over here? At the same time, important name, one more name we're going to mention, arrives a person, because this is a person actually who played a major role in subsequent happenings. It's a person by the name of Rabbi Yekseel Gordon. Yekseel Gordon, who actually came from Vilna. He comes from Vilna to Padua. Why? To study medicine. Padua had one of the great universities going back to that time. People want to study medicine specifically. More than anything, was one of the most famous universities. And even today, also we saw Bologna, where we were, also still very famous people. To this day, they come from Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of Israelis come to Italy, to Bologna, to study medicine, University of Bologna. So this Yekseel Gordon is coming to Padua, because he wants to learn medicine. So he comes to Ramchal, and he realizes, he heard about Ramchal, and he falls before his feet, please accept me as a Talmud. He was very selective, Ramchal. Please accept me as a Talmud. And Ramchal agreed, and he began to teach him Kabbalah, and so on. And he taught him a lot of things. And Rabbi Yekseel became mamish so attached to Ramchal, that he mamish went deeper and deeper into the study of Kabbalah, became one of the most choshev Talmidim of Ramchal. But here's the Chiddush. Once he became attached to Ramchal, he didn't want to go to university. He didn't want to be a doctor anymore. Ramchal said, no, you have to go to university. On what basis? Because the Magid, Hafel Befela, the Magid, the Malach who came to Ramchal said, he has to go to university. And we'll explain later, see what benefits came out of that. So it turns out, this becomes a great Baal Mekubal, Yekseel Gordon. He wanted to study, he came for one purpose, he ended up for something else. But at the end, he said he had to still go study in the University of Padua. So we'll stop here for this moment here, Rabbi said, with this. And to be continued, imagine what happened further. But this is the foundation, Rabbi Isai, as to what began and evolved, it says, the stormy life of the Ramchal. Okay, so go here to the Sefer Derech Hashem, where we're up to. We're actually up to the first page. When I say the first page, it means in Chelik Aleph, Perik Aleph, which is Daf Chof Tes. It's Daf Chof Tes in the editions that we have in front of us. And it's on the bottom, and Daf Chof Tes in the bottom. With Ramchal's words are Oit Sorech Sheyeda. Ramchal's words, Oit Sorech Sheyeda. There's another thing that's important, said Ramchal, that you have to know. Now, the Ramchal here is advancing a number of principles that are basic principles that every Yid has to know, which means that if you don't understand these principles, you can't really be a Jew. What defines you as a Jew in your relationship to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means you have to know these principles. Ramchal, as a matter of fact, used two phrases. You have to believe and you have to know. And you start with believing and ultimately you come to know. So here he goes further. He says the third principle. Ramchal basically returns to describing his description of Hashem, and he adds the third principle, and he says the following. He says, it's important that a person needs to know that this being, this existing being, which is known as Yisbarach Shemoi, right, which is regarding a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you have to know that this existing being, because you realize, because in the first principle, let's remember, in the first principle, basically, the Ramchal introduced that Hashem simply exists. That was principle number one. The first principle was that man has to know and realize that Hashem simply exists. Now the Ramchal adds a new factor to that existence. In addition to knowing that Hashem exists, now comes a new factor in addition to that. What is that? Well, a person has to understand Shamotzu Yazeh Yisbarach Shemoi, that this existing being, meaning a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so what do you have to know? You have to know Hine Mitzuyosoi Mitzius Muchrach. You have to know that his existence is an absolute required reality. She'i Efshe Heedroi Klal. In other words, it's impossible that it should ever cease to exist. Okay? Principle number one, that Hashem exists. Principle number two, it's impossible that it should ever cease to exist. That's principle number two. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is an absolutely required reality. It's a required reality, which means His absence is not at all possible. So points out Ramchal over here. And there's a essay of Ramchal. Of course, we don't have it here, but Ramchal, so many different writings. It's called Ma'amar Ha'Ikarim. And Ramchal, in Ma'amar Ha'Ikarim, let me just quote a little bit. Ramchal writes, and he says like this, there is no beginning to His existence regarding the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's no end at all. He did not emerge from non-existence, and He can never be absent. He is the cause of all beings, and there's no other cause for His existence. Rather, His existence is an absolute requirement, which means that everything that, in contrast, that everything that Hashem created, right, exists only conditionally, which means it's possible for it to exist, and it's also possible to cease to exist. That's regarding things that Hashem created. It may exist, it may not exist. However, regarding the existence of Hashem, says Ramchal, there's no possibility that He would not exist. Okay, so this is really principle, this is the second, this is the third principle now over here that we're talking about. And then he goes further. So this is Daud. Oid Zor Sheyeda. He said the fourth principle is, a man must know, Shemitsuyoso Yizbarach Shemoi, you must further know that Hashem's existence, Einoi Tolu Bizuloso Yiklau. Hashem's existence is not dependent on anything outside of Himself. It's not like a human being whose existence is dependent, right? Not only, of course, on Kodesh Baruch Hu, for sure, but even its existence, we all need society. You can't live alone, because you need whatever in order to exist, in order to live. So whatever you're going to use, you need other people, right, to be able to tell through the things that is a basic requirement for living. So Kodesh Baruch Hu's existence is not tolu, it's not dependent, but rather His existence is intrinsically, it's an absolute requirement on its own, intrinsically, His existence, but it's not dependent on anybody else. Actually, later on, this is Chelik Aleph that we're doing. Further in Sefer Derech Hashem, if you go down to Chelik Dalet, so there Ramchal writes, the following, he writes, that Hashem's existence, he says, in essence, it's not associated with anything else, he writes. And in Ma'amar Ha'Ikarim, he writes, that Hashem is not affected by anything else at all. Anything else at all. Hashem is not affected by anything. The Ramchal says, but Hashem's existence is intrinsically, right, is an intrinsically absolute requirement, which means quite simply, He's absolutely alone and one regarding His existence. So now, so what do we add to that? So now comes the fifth principle. Fifth principle, says Ramchal, V'chein tzorech sheyeda. Ramchal says, one must further know, it's important to know, Shemitzuasoi shemoi, Yizborach shemoi, that Hashem's existence, Mitzias poshut. It means it's a, His existence is simple. What do you mean His existence is simple? Simple means Beli Harkova Veribui Klal. Hashem's existence is not made up of any composite of many forces together. Right? Beli Harkova. Harkova means it's not a composite of many things, nor Ribui, or any multiplicity of many, many components. Which means to say the following. We went many times, everybody says it. Yes, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How do we interpret the word Echad? Well, the simple translation, when we say Hashem Echad means, Hashem Echad means, that what? It means what? That there does, Hashem is one. Now, one means that there is no secondary power. That's the simple translation. Hashem Echad means, Hashem is the only one in power, but there's no secondary power. Hashem Echad, there's no secondary power. What comes out from the Ramchal, there's another meaning. Not only is Hashem Echad, there's no secondary power, Hashem Echad means that He's a single entity. He's not made up of components. Hashem is not made up from different parts and aspects, as a human being is, as he goes on to explain right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one in all aspects. It's not made up of different forces coming together. V'chol ha'shleim yois kulam. All perfections in entirety. Perfection on top of perfection. Nimtzoyim by bederach poshut. Is found in simple fashion, meaning not in complex fashion, meaning made up of many, many parts. So now he goes on to explain what he means by simple. Kadosh Baruch Hu's, right? Metzius, Kadosh Baruch Hu's essence, existence, it's simple. It's not a harkova. It's not a composite of many facets. He goes on to explain. Pirish, he says, it means the following. Let's take, for example, Gehinei Banefesh. Take the human soul, or let's say the human mind, right? Take the human soul, let's take the human mind. The human mind itself, yimsu koiches rabim shoinim. You'll see the beautiful thought. How Ramchal really how it describes the nature of a human being. Take the human being, you'll find that the human mind, the human soul, you'll find that there are koiches rabim shoinim. There are many different functions that exist, right? Which means to say, a person's neshama, a person's mind, is composed of many different characteristics and drives. Many different things that drive him. And therefore, let's say, the human soul, even though the human soul does not have physical parts, let's repeat, even though the human soul does not have any physical parts, but it has diverse functions. Or the human mind has diverse functions. For example, Shekol Echad Mehem, right? Each of the different facets, right, within a human being, is gedeiroi b'fnei atzmoi. Each one is defined independently of the others. Which means to say is, a person who's perfect, what it means when we say perfect, I mean as far as a human being can be perfect, there's no perfect, pure person. But a person that's perfect means he has to be perfect in each of his parts independently. In other words, he's not perfect as a single entity because he has so many different facets, and so many different characteristics, and so many different drives. So when we say the human being is perfect, it means he's perfect in every part that he has, each and every part independently. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'maisa is one complete entity, as he goes on to explain. Here goes the human being first. Derech Moshel. Let's take a look at a number of different functions, right, that a human being is capable of. Let's take a look, for example, and we're going to use, let's say again, the human mind. We can look at that. Take a look at the brain. Take one aspect. Take a look at the brain. So you have, let's say, you have hazikaron koich echod. Memory is one function. So the human brain has a function called memory. Fine. Then you have v'harotzon koich achar. Then a man has desires, right? So that's another function. Koich achar, rotzon, will. That's a secondary. Another, not secondary. It's another function. Then a third, v'adimyon, the power of imagination. That's also koyach acher. That's another function. In other words, these are all three, just using three, for example, could be more. These are all three unique functions. These are all three unique functions. So using the examples, you have zikaron, you have memory, and you have rotzon, you have will, you have desire, and then you have dimyon. So he says, these three functions, memory, desire, imagination, these three are three distinct, unique functions, where the ein echod me'ele nichnas v'geder chaveri klal. None of these functions impinge on the domain of any of the other functions whatsoever. In other words, these are independent functions, as he goes on to demonstrate. For example, the hine geder hazikorin, v'geder harotzen, right? Take, for example, the geder hazikorin, v'geder harotzen. Geder echod. In other words, the domain of memory is one domain, and will is another domain. So he says, "Ve'en harotzin nechnas." Right, begeder hazikaron, v'lehazikaron begeder harotzin, which means is memory does not penetrate, does not impinge on the domain of will, and will does not impinge on the domain of rotzin. He says, "Ve'chen kulam." The same is true regarding all of the characteristics of man. And here Rabbi Yisrael, just here's a common example, using what the Ramchal is talking about. A person, let's say, can have an excellent imagination, right? That's one domain. A person can have an excellent imagination through which he can solve, let's say, difficult problems. Right, he has excellent. But at the same time, he may not remember his solutions very long. His koich hazikaron is shvach. So he may have an excellent imagination, right? Or an excellent thinking process, which allows him, right, to solve many things, but he may have a bad zikaron, bad memory, to forget all of his solutions. So they're two separate domains. See, these are different faculties. So even if he's perfect in all three, each is an independent area of perfection. Where one area, one domain, right, does not penetrate or impinge on the other domain. The same way, on the other hand, you can have a person who can be very dull. You have a person that can be very dull. But at the same time, he can have an excellent ability to memorize facts. Even though he's a dull person, schwach imagination. He doesn't have no koyach achidish. He has no koyach achidish. But at the same time, you can have a gewaldige memory. He remembers everything. So therefore, so even when a person, let's say, excels in all three areas, let's say he's perfect when it comes to will, he's perfect when it comes to memory, and he's perfect when it comes to imagination, he actually exhibits three independent facets. Three independent facets. And if he perfected them, it means he perfected three separate areas. That's a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all, right? All the facets of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, yes, Kodesh Baruch Hu can have will, Kodesh Baruch Hu has memory, of course, in much, much greater degree. Kodesh Baruch Hu has wisdom, these are not three different facets. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is all part of this essence, of the soul essence. That's the difference. Human being, all of these facets are to have different domains. Have different domains, he says, as he points out. However, Kodesh Baruch Hu einenu bal koichoi shoinim. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not contain diverse functions. It's all one. No matter what its function is, it's all one. Any function of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, there's no diverse functions. It's all one. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu does do so many different functions, Ava pi shebemes, yesh bo yinyonim, shebonu hem shoinim. Right? Even in reality, he does contain matters which in us are diverse. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a lot of different things, which in us are considered to be diverse. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, who shalom b'chol shleimus, he is perfect in all forms, right? He is perfect to all forms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Memele, he says, yes, he's perfect in all forms, and all the things that he does, Omnam, he says, the reality of Amitus Mitzurosoi, the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, who inyan echot, it's a single integral state. That's the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says any human being. So quite simply, Rav Michal is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is perfect in all of those areas. He's perfect. However, the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as perfect, describing Hashem as perfect, is different than the definition of perfection found within man, as he goes on to explain. Because why? Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all one facet, as he goes on to say, V'nimtzo. Because what comes out and what emerges, because what emerges is, by man we said, wisdom is a separate facet, memory is a separate facet, desire, will are separate facets, because Baruch Hu's, his wisdom, his will, and his ability, they are not separate from his essence. Because why? Because they are all part of Hashem's, quote, simple existence, as we call. It's all part and part, it's one. It's one essence. And he goes on to point out. V'nimso. It comes out. Here, quite simple. For example, take a human being. Let's call him Reuven. Call a person Dr. Reuven. So, if Reuven, let's say, loses perfection in any of, right, in any of the facets, he's still Reuven. It's Reuven minus one perfection. Right? And if Reuven gains an area of perfection, he still is Reuven, but he's Reuven that gained the perfection. If Reuven is weak in two areas or in three areas, he's still Reuven. It's Reuven minus perfection. Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu with perfection. This is all part and part of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You don't separate all of these facets as you find by human being. These are all part of the essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'nimtzo. So it comes out regarding Hashem, consequently, sheyesh bo kol hashleimus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, all forms of perfection. When you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hashleimus, kol hashleimus, all forms of perfection, he says, loy kedova noisef, is not something which is just merely on top, added, less extraneous from his being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfection is not like kedova noisef al mahusoi, v'amitus inyonoi. It's not something that's extraneous to his essence, or to the reality of a state of being. In a human being, any area that he excels is something added to his personality. Something added to his personality. Because Baruch Hu, all of his perfection is not added. That's his essence. That is what Hashem is. Hashem is all this. It's all one. All of this is one. It's all part of the same essence, the same being. All of it is elementsad amitus in yono biatzmoi. It's integral part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality in and of itself. Which means shekoileles ba'amito, which includes in, right in his very state of reality all forms of perfection, as he says, kol ashlemius shei efsher le'inyan ahu mebilti kol ashlemius misaratzmoi. It's not possible for a Kadosh Baruch Hu's state of being not to have any area of perfection. Whereas a human being, of course, as we said, may have nothing, may have a lot, but these are all separate areas of perfection. One has nothing to do with the other, as we said, because they're all separate areas. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they cannot be separated from the essence of Hashem. So that's another area of understanding, a little bit again, of what we have to understand and believe regarding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, being that Kadosh Baruch Hu is something that's so far removed from the human mind, so Ramchal goes on to say, the truth is, what we're talking about is mostly in code form. Because we have not seen Hashem, and we cannot even fathom Hashem. Hashem is millions of miles removed from the capability, the ability of the human intellect, even to be able to perceive the true essence of Hashem. So it goes on Ramchal to tell us, I want to explain something, says Ramchal. The truth is what I'm telling you, v'ine be'emes, hadover hazeh. Ramchal, we want to explain the difficulty in grasping the concept of Hashem's simplicity. Everything is all part and parcel of one essence. That's what Ramchal is saying. Not like a human being. Everything is a separate area. But if I could broke, everything is part and parcel of Hashem's simplicity. So Ramchal wants to explain that and say, I want you to know, it's not that easy, he says, for your mind to grasp what I'm talking about. The truth is that this approach is very far, right? It's distant from our grasp and from our perceptions, says Ramchal. Ramchal really wants to say the truth is that you're not able to comprehend it verbally, nor can you draw even mental images that will allow it to envision. How can you envision something that you never saw? So it's very hard even to envision, he says. And he says, therefore, there's no words that even could describe adequately. We almost have no way, he says. We almost have no way of giving it clarity or to find words, he says, with which to explain it. So, till now the Ramchal was trying to explain it, right? But Ramchal is trying to say that even though the Ramchal was giving some description of Hashem, but he's trying to say, but it's not possible to give a clear description. Yeah, I'm trying to give you an idea, a little bit notion of what we're talking about. But there's no way that one or anyone can give you a clear description, says Ramchal. And it's quite simple. Because what Ramchal is going to say in the next few lines, because our perception of Hashem is according, based upon human perception, how we perceive humans. When we talk about seeing, what does seeing mean? Seeing is, as we understand, a human eye to see. When we talk about hearing, so the word hearing only registers in our mind by the way that we understand what hearing means, because our ears see. So we talk about hearing or seeing, of course, this is unrelated to the way that we hear or see in any way. But we are the only way to be able to describe a Kodesh Baruch Hu is using human terms. Well, the Torah also writes that way, right? Vayishma Hashem, Vayidaber Hashem. As if to say, because in order, as Rashi says many times, Chumash L'Sabra Sois, in order that we should be able to understand with the narration and to understand what's going on, that the Torah reduced, right? Reduced, in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the way that he deals in human terms, so we should be able to understand, perceive what's going on. But in essence, he says, there's no way to really describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually is and what he consists of, as he says right away. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no human words to describe it, because you can only describe it in human perception. And our mind, therefore, cannot go beyond that. As he says right here. He says, Ki ein tziyoreinu v'dimyoneinu teifes. Our perception, imagination, can only grasp el inyonim, mugbolim, only, right, only concepts. We are only able to grasp concepts that are limited, right, that are limited by the limits of nature that Hashem created. We can't go beyond that, because that's all we know. So anything that we're going to try to relate to Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be limited by the limit of nature that Kodesh Baruch Hu created. It's mugbal, again, repeating the words. It's mugbalim, they are limited or they are bound by the limits of nature, which is created by Hashem himself. Hashem created nature, and we are part of that. And therefore, our perception of Kodesh Baruch Hu is also based only upon those limits. That's what our senses can detect with the human perception that Hashem put within us. And it's the nature, right, with which Hakadosh Baruch Hu created us, they convey the image to the mind, to the human mind. So it's all based upon human understanding. So again, what Ramchal is saying is that the understanding of any living being is limited to the realm of experience. And our experience is human experience. So how do we make that leap, right, beyond the human experience to really try and understand? As humans, says Ramchal, we can only comprehend, right, the physical world at best, and we can, or let's put it this way, at best, we can develop only sort of like an abstract, you can develop an abstract understanding of the spiritual world. And when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created both the spiritual and the physical world, we can hardly describe anything about it. Because it will only be limited, again, to our human perception, says Ramchal further. We'll be bruim. And when we are, because we're only created, so when relating to created beings, right, we'll be bruim. When relating to things that Hashem created, hine anyonim rabim v'nifrodim, we find so many things that are numerous and they are divergent. But as Ramchal pointed out, human beings have many characteristics which are completely independent, one from the other. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu is totally removed from all that. Nevertheless, says Ramchal, Ulam kvar higdamnu. However, this should not stop us to try to come closer, at least according to our human understanding, to come closer to Hashem, because we already have introduced, we have prefaced, says Ramchal, Shemitus mitziwoso yizborach shemoy enu musagis. The truth is that Hashem's existence certainly cannot be fully grasped, and one should not draw inference. One should not draw inference from creation to the Creator, because creation is nature. Okay, God created what we call nature, and we are limited. We are limited to the bounds and to the limits of nature. The Creator is way above that, as he says. Ve'ein lahakish. Do not try to draw a comparison. Do not try to extrapolate from nature. Oh, I see nature. Now I know what Hashem is. No. You have no comprehension. You cannot really grasp what Hashem truly is. The Ein Lahakish. You cannot extrapolate. Memashiroyim. From what we see. Bibruim. In creation. Don't extrapolate from what we see in creation. Al Habayre Yizbarach Shemoy. That really should define, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should define the Creator, ki ein in yonam umitziyosam shovet klal, because the factors of creation and their realities are not equal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. Shenucha lodun mizal zeh, to be able to judge from one, meaning from the created things to the Creator, he says. So therefore, of course, so whatever we're talking about, simply put, what Ramchal is saying here, Hashem is the Creator, obviously, and everything else is the creation, His creation. There's no bigger existing gap, hear this again, there's no bigger existing gap, right, than one that exists. There's no bigger gap than what exists between the Creator and His created beings. There's no bigger gap. So don't try to fool yourself. Do you have any notion what Kodesh Baruch Hu is really about? However, what I did tell you, so Ramchal told us a little bit about what Hashem, His essence is one. Ramchal told us is that He's not dependent on anything. All of this we have by tradition, says Ramchal. These are all things, he says, among things that are known through oral transmission, as was mentioned above. We have a Kabbalah right from our ovis, and they from their ovis, and so on. Umasim, and then they become also verified. They can be verified through analytical investigation of the world of nature itself. In other words, what Ramchal is saying, scientific investigation is useful only in verifying the facts that we already know from our tradition. Those facts that we already know from our tradition, but it cannot be used initially to discover all these truths that we are saying. Once we are aware of all these truths that we have received from tradition, then we can try, through scientific facts, try to say, oh, I can see, I can recognize the Supreme Being, look, oh, everything, Supreme Being, and to recognize and try to see that which we have from tradition. That's what he says later. Umasim, it becomes later verified. that which we already have by tradition, al pi hateva atzmoi, looking at the laws of nature, looking at the tremendous, intricate design, right? And to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the accurate, the exactness, b'chukoisov u'mishpoto, just take a look a little bit at the laws and the principles of nature, she efsha al kolponim, by studying the world and the design of the world, it has to tell you that there has to be someone, shelo yemotzei, it's impossible there should not be, right? It's impossible shelo yemotzei motzo yechod, it's impossible there should not be one existing being that's above all the laws of nature. Because the one who created nature has to be above that. The one who brought it into existence has to be way above that. Mishulul mekol hateva, someone who is devoid of all the laws of nature. Chukoysov ugvulov, right? All the statues and the boundaries of nature. Referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mekol ha'eder v'chisorin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no absence and he has no shortcomings. Mekol ribui v'akova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not made up, as we said, of composition, of multiplicity. Right? Mikol yachas ve'erech mikol mikra abruim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is devoid of all association and evaluation of human evaluation. Mikol mikra abruim. All the occurrences that affect created beings do not affect the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We come to that realization once we see this complex, beautiful world, the design of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. We understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that there has to be a cause. Shehu hasibu amitis. Kodesh Baruch Hu, this being, must be the true cause of everything that exists. Not only the true cause of what exists, but also whatever happens within them. Also, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kizula zeh, he says, because otherwise, unless this is true, that there is a supreme being on top of everything, he says, if not for that, mitzius hanimtsoye shoneroyim, he says, the reality of beings that we see, and their continuity, would not be possible. He says, shoneroyim vasamadosom, or yibilti efshiri, these things would not be possible. So we stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. He's giving us again, the Ramchal's, as we say, the first few principles, and we have still just a few more, but Hashem will be mashlem next time. So talking about a little bit here about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, let's say the following here. The Biyana Rebbe, Zichron Lebracha, he once, on a trip, going back from Switzerland to Eretz Yisrael, there was a need that he had to be in Switzerland. So on a trip back from Switzerland to Eretz Yisrael, on a certain area throughout his trip, and there was a Yid HaRav Zilber, basically, who was from America, who was with him. So he says the train was passing through one of the beautiful, beautiful scenery of the Swiss Alps. And Rebbe was involved in learning. And the Mele, so that's where his gaze was in the Sefer, and he continued to learn. But there's a beautiful Gewaldige scenery, tremendous scenery to see. And who knows when the next time the Rebbe would have an opportunity to see that. So the Yid tells us that what he went to is, and he sort of like gave the Rebbe a little bit of a clap and said, Rebbe, look up here, look at what you. It's tremendous, you see here what's going on. You see, the truth is, it's getting the flow of it to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. It's a beautiful world that Hashem created. And nevertheless, the Rebbe just was oblivious and just continued to look into the cipher. When he arrived there, it's Israel, and the Rebbe goes on to the train that was taking him right home, back to Yerushalayim. Here in Eretz Yisrael, he looks through the windows, the dirty roads, you see the unpaved roads as the train was passing by in Eretz Yisrael, and he keeps looking. So the Gabbai really just couldn't hold back. He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. He says, you're in Switzerland, he says, you had the opportunity to see, he says, the beautiful Swiss Alps, to see the mountains, a scenery once in a lifetime. Hashem created, he says, you weren't interested. You know, it's a soil, you see the bushes, he says, and the bare trees, and you see the bare. You don't stop looking out the window, he says. The Rebbe says, two answers to you for both questions. Number one, perspective, Rabbi Yisai. Do I have to look to see what's called the seven wonders of the world, or it's 10 wonders, probably there's a million wonders of the world? Do I have to look, he says, to see Swiss Alps or any Alps, to see the Gevuras Hashem? Torah HaMelech says, Mipsari Erez Alakai, I can see Hashem just looking at the human body. And the Rebbe said, by looking in the palm of my hand, I see Hashem every day. Who can create a hand? Who can create the design of a hand? to who made up the idea, first of all, even to come with the idea to have these fingers, which every finger has a thumb, there should be, right, the distance, that there should be a thumb that goes so far away, that every finger should be able, right, to do all the little things, the koyach, right, of the senses in each of the fingers, and all that makes it work, with all the blood flow, and every, the nerve endings, and from the palm of my hand, that I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no less looking at any mountain, he says. I don't need to look at artificial, beautiful avada, no question about it, Hashem created. But I don't have to do that. Just this idea, if a person can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every aver of his body, every aver of his body, I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The harmony, how everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, how they work together in unison. It's incredible. It's godly. That's what it is. Mibsari Achzilakai. As far as you're asking me why I'm looking out the window, on the Chumash it says regarding Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereishis Hashana. It's a land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps looking at it. And Hashem likes to look at it, I also like to look at it. That was his answer. When it comes to Miriam, when it comes to Miriam, Rabbi Yisai, so she sees Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket. It says, Vatitzatzav, Vatitzatzav, right? Achoyse Mirochek. She stood at a distance. And she waited. She waited to do whatever is possible to save her brother, and she did. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid her back mida kineged mida. For the fact that she waited for Moshe Rabbeinu, she was zeicher that when she was afflicted with tzaras, she became afflicted with leprosy, so the whole Klal Yisrael, right, did not move on to journey in the Midbar, but they waited even 7 days. And Tosfos points out, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back, he says, kifle kiflayim. Not just measure for measure. He pays you back hundreds of times more. How long did Miriam already wait? How long do you think she waited already? And she was only one person. But for that, Klal Yisrael, right? You have millions of people waited for Miriam because she has one person. And she waited for her brother. So what's the big deal? She waited for her brother. For that, her brother paid back that millions of people waited for Miriam for 7 days. For 7 days. So look how the midah can give midah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it does not, it goes way above proportion. Oynesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed. It's only midah can give midah. It doesn't give you more punishment than, but chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you schar much, much more. Tosfos points it out there in Sota Dafir Aleph regarding merube midah toiva me midas peronis. When it comes to midah toiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can shower you many, many times over. Literally, 500 times over. Now, so the cheshman is like this. The truth is, when a person does an act of chesed, let's take what Miriam did. So we look at the fact is, okay, so she saved Moshe Rabbeinu. So you think that's all she did? She saved Moshe Rabbeinu? By saving Moshe Rabbeinu, what it meant was that now Klal Yisrael has a leader. Moshe Rabbeinu now was the one who brought down Torah to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, what he led them, and he taught them for 40 years. All of that, you realize, was she caused that domino effect by saving Moshe Rabbeinu. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did down the road, she also gets credit for that. In other words, when a person does an act of chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you the outcome, all of the positive, right? All the positive things that you were the cause, indirectly, but because of you, if not for the first, not for the first thing, the others wouldn't have happened. So if you add up all the things, of course, the Moshe Rabbeinu that he benefited the Klal Yisrael, there's a lot of schar, which is there reserved for Miriam as well. So the Klal is, when a person does any act of Gemilas Chesed, you don't lose, the Moshe Rabbeinu pays you back, kifle kiflayim. The Choshev Rabin in Bnei Brak related the following, which I heard from a Yid, personally. The Yid was a driver, bad driver, he had a car. For some reason, his thing was he only picks up, he says, family members. Does not pick up strangers. This was his danhog all the time. So the Yid says, I was driving down the road, down the street, and I see him, an old man, mamish, with a stick, with a cane, waiting for a bus. And for the moment, he says, you know what? He says, this is a Yid here. Who knows how long it'll take for the bus to come. And even the bus will come. Imagine the Tirch is going to have to get up on the bus. It's not going to be easy for him to get up on the bus. And then finally, if he doesn't miss his stop, he'll get off the bus. How much Tirch? And who knows how many blocks, how far his house is from the bus stop. So I had Rochamonis. So I take the Yid and I take him in. I'm going to do an act of chesed. I took him into the car. The Yid thanked me very much. And as he was about to leave, right, they stop, this is where he lives, and let him go. So he says, Poshit, it's unsuspecting, he says, did you hear that so-and-so? We got caught up in some financial, terrible financial distress. He got involved in some terrible financial distress, so and so, which involves some bankruptcy situation regarding millions of dollars. And money that people had deposited by him, it's a risk that it's all be lost. It's a matzav that it's very shaykh that he can lose all the money. As soon as I hear that, he says, I thought I'm making an accident, he says, because I had not too long ago invested with this person $400,000. And now I get a idea from the passage that I picked up that this person might be going bankrupt. The first thing I did, I went straight, he says, to this person, and with nisim, he says, I was at least able to get out of him back, gave him $250,000 of the $400,000. So I realized, he says, imagine, had I not taken this yid up to the chesed of giving him a ride, I never would have known about it, but I would have lost everything. So he said, an act of chesed, Rabbi Isai, is something called shemayim, it pays you back, sometimes immediately, sometimes takes a while. Because Baruch always pays you back. The Maaseh goes, Rabbi said that a Yid who invested money by a Gevir, and his friend comes over to him 2-3 days later, says, I think you should ask for your money back. He says, why? Tell the truth, I was standing in shul next to the Gevir, and I heard him say, Rabbi Shalom, peace and Mashiach. The Gevir is asking for a Mashiach, he's in trouble.